Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, I'm thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is what? It is a good word. Yes, it is a great word, actually. This morning, when praying, the Word of God came to me. The Lord God will equip you for your assignment. I'm working on an assignment, and it's like, Lord, I don't know where to start. And then I heard the word, the Lord God will equip you for your assignment. It's time to go to work. And just an overview this morning. In our word today, David was given an assignment to draw up the plans for the Lord God's temple. The assignment was inspired in him by the Holy Spirit. When God calls you to go to work, he will equip you for the assignment. David's assignment was to draw the plans, and Solomon's assignment was the implementation of the plans. Each did his assignment. Are you doing what God has assigned you to do? It's a question that we must ask ourselves. Am I doing what God called me to do? Am I doing my assignment? Or I'm sitting in envy of someone else's assignment? You have to do your assignment. To do is say, yes. Yes, Lord. I will do what you called me to do. And do it with joy in your heart. So many times you hear people grumbling and complaining about going to work. Oh, I got to go to work today. Question is, do you like what you do? I love what I do. Just knew I was going to be retired, kicked back, enjoying grandkids. That was not my assignment. And when God sends a prophet to speak to you, you got to listen. And he sent a prophetess to me to speak to me because I was ignoring her. I was. I'm just being honest. Every time I'm like, no, I'm retired. But when God has work for you to do, you go to work for him. So I am grateful, thankful, and truly blessed that God called me for this assignment. Give his word, to study his word, to preach his word. Because God's word preaches itself. So I don't preach. I just read. And the word preaches itself. Because this is my assignment for this season. So I am grateful for what I do on Blog Talk Radio. I am grateful that God has given me this word, to read this word in a year, to give it to you in a year. If you join me every day, you will have read the word of God in a year. So Fridays is a little different, Fridays and Sundays. On Friday, I either do Old Testament or New Testament, whichever God leads me to do. And on Sundays, I do the opposite. So if I do Old Testament today, I'll be doing New Testament on Sunday. And sometimes Psalm and Proverbs could be either or, depending on time. So we are in the Old Testament today, and we're talking about assignments. We're talking about going to work and being inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit. David was given an assignment to draw up the plans for the temple, to get the equipment, to get the things to go in it. I mean, Solomon only had to build it. David had He had the timber. He had the gold. He had the bronze. He had the silver. He had the jewels. He had the, you name it, he had accumulated it. So only thing that had to be done was the implementation. And that was Solomon's assignment. When God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. All we have to do is believe and do what we are called to do. Sometimes your assignment is to just tell truth to power. Sometimes your assignment is to speak, tell it all. Sometimes your assignment is to be quiet and be still and know that he is God. Sometimes your assignment is to help in the ministries of help, to be in hospitality, to be an usher, to sing in the choir, to do what God calls you to do. Whatever it is, do your assignment. Do get in our word. Father God, we are this morning calling out to you, telling you thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this inspired word that you have left for us, for all generations to read, to study, to ponder. I thank you, God, for the ability and the insight to do what you have called me to do, to read and teach your word. Lord God, I pray that this word blesses someone today. And I ask you, Father God, as I do every day, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are my strength, and you, Lord, are my redeemer. I cannot and I will not do this without you. So, Father God, as I please allow your word to speak through me, that someone who is not saved today will catch it, will catch on fire for you and be saved. In the precious and the holy name of my Lord and Savior, my friend, Christ Jesus, your son, my brother, whom died for me. Why? Because he loved me. Love him too. And I thank God. I thank you, Father God, for this family of believers. And it's again in the name of the Savior. The light, the truth, the way, the all that. But he is my friend. And I thank you, Jesus, for being with me, for standing in the gap with me, for bringing me through darkness into light. For I once was lost, and now I've been found. I once was blind, but now I see. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray in your name, believing and trusting in you. Amen. Giving honor to God, to the Savior, and to the Holy Spirit. I get filled up when I call on the name of Jesus, for I know what he did for me. Hallelujah. Saved my soul. Saved my life. Me strength. Hallelujah. Giving honor again to the Most High God. Y'all know a sister would get filled up in a minute because the word of God is just that good and that rich. So thanking God for you, asking God to cover you, and let's get in our word. Again, we are coming from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, chapter 29. And then we're going into a new chronicle, 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, chapter 2, 10, I believe, chapter 3, but I will tell you in just a moment, and chapter 3 and 4. So we are going to be getting a lot of word in this morning from the Old Testament. So 1 Chronicles, if you got your Bible with you, those that are in King James, you follow me very, very well. I won't have the thems and thous, but I'll have the thee and those. So let's get started. Whew. Are y'all ready? I am so excited because it is a good word today. It's a good word. We're going to talk about building a house, God's house. Again, God's house is in each and every one of us. We have to make sure that our house, our spiritual house, is in order. Our physical house sometimes can be a mess, but your spiritual house has to always be in order. So let's get started. Now, David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substances and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.' However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel and of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now, he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house, chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day.'" Y'all caught that, right? What did God say? That he would keep, that Solomon would be what? I'm going to read it again. "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if," there's that if in there, "he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." David told Solomon what he needed to do. Keep the commandments of the Lord. And what did God tell him not to do? Don't get involved with these women, because they will take you, and I'm paraphrasing now, they will take you from me to serve their other gods, to serve other gods. God gave us an understanding way back then what could happen if you don't follow the commandment. So let's keep it going. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the house, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service, also silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service, the weight for the lampstands of gold and their lamps of gold, by weight for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstand of the silver by weight, for the lampstand and its lamps according to the use of each lampstand, and by weight. He gave gold for the tables of the showbread, for each table, and silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold, for the forks of the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl, and refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, and for the construction of the chariot, that is, the gold cherubims that spread their wings and overshadow the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Family, it's time to do your assignment and go to work. And it goes on to tell us, here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. Every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command. And I love this life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. Inspired by the Spirit of God, David drew up plans for the temple. If we will allow the Spirit to work unhindered in our lives, we can draw upon his guidance and wisdom in all areas of life. Woo, chapter 29, First Chronicles. And I'm telling you, I told y'all it was a good word this morning. Woo, thank you, Lord. And he goes on to tell us, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble, slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Orpha, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Are you in consecration? Have you been in consecration? Are you ready to give yourself unto the Lord? I went to a meeting last night, but my soul wasn't right. Something got a hold of me, and I can speak that. When I went to prayer service on Tuesday night, I just wasn't feeling. I had a headache. I just felt weighed down because something was trying to get a hold of me. And then I just went in and I stood up and said, does anybody need prayer? I didn't just sit there with a headache, with a weight. I felt like something was just trying to weigh me down. And I'm like, not tonight. I came to prayer for a reason. And when I got prayed over, it was like this weight started to lift off. All of a sudden, the headache disappeared. Every ache and pain I was feeling was gone. I know that the something else got a hold of me and knocked the darkness away and said, not today. This is a child of God, and she's about to get set free. And I felt this lifting of my spirit. I felt this lifting up of darkness from my soul. I felt like everything that had been trying to weigh me down and keep me from my assignment was being lifted up. I thank God for prayer warriors. I thank God for those that are willing to stand in the gap. I thank God for those that will face the enemy with you and for you. Hallelujah. We have to get consecrated in the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God to my spirit. I'm like, Lord, you know that this fast is going to be hard. And he's like, you got to do it. So I'm fasting for what it is that I need from God, just more of him in my life. You know, we got to consecrate ourselves. And David is telling these folks, let's get into the word. And it says this, then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers of the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jael, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your gracious, glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you. Can I say, can y'all say it with me? Lord, all things come from you. And of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as we all are fathers. As we all are fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow. And without hope. Whew. O Lord our God, verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, of the heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you. and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. And they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader and Zadok to be priest. And Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men, also all the sons of King David, submitted themselves to King Solomon. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of his all Israel, and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. So he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, first and last, indeed, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the events that happened to him, to Israel, and to all the kingdoms of the land. Oh, I told y'all, it is a great word this morning. 1 Chronicles 29:9, with a loyal heart, they offer willingly to the Lord. And Dr. Stanley says, when the Lord fills our hearts, we delight to honor him with our wallet. That is so true. Willing offerings to the Lord's work results in great joy for the givers. We can never outgive God because we give nothing to God that he has not first given to us. Can the church say amen? Folks begrudging them tithe with gladness. Lord, I know you provided, and I know you will provide. I'm paying my tithe. Everything else will fall into place, but I'm going to pay these tithes. We got to have that kind of heart. I'm going to pay my tithes in your heart. Because when you give a cheerful giver, we got to be cheerful givers to the Lord God. Because he sure is cheerfully given to us. Come on now, tell the truth and shame that wicked snake. God has blessed us beyond measure. And it's not about monetary things. So many folks think a blessing is about money. It's not. It's about peace. It's about joy. It's about hope in the future. It's about a dark weight being lifted off your shoulder. It's about that spirit trying to hold you back instead of the one pushing you forward. We want the Lord God to push us forward, to do his work, to do ours. Whatever your assignment or assignments are, for God, you've got to do it. It's time to go to work. You know, come on now. I say this all the time, and I thank Jonathan for preaching it on Sunday. God wants us to go to work. It's time to get up and do what you are supposed to do, what you are called to do by God. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. This is a life question. He said, answers the life questions. Does God consider loyalty an important trait in his people? Our relationship with God is usually reflected in our relationship with other people. The more loyal we are to God, the more loyal we tend to be with friends and family members. That's it. That's no accident. God considers loyalty an important trait. David thought it so important that he prayed, "Give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes." 1 Chronicles 29:19. God wants us to remain loyal to him, and he wants us to remain loyal to the people he put our life. Sometimes your assignment is a person or people. Whatever it is, do it. Perhaps this helps to explain why we find so many beautiful pictures of loyalty in the Bible. For example, Jonathan remained loyal to David even at the risk of his own health and safety. And we know that was in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 2. In the New Testament, we see a bond of loyalty between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, two men who helped change the course of the world for Christ, even though they couldn't always agree. But perhaps the most beautiful picture of loyalty in all the scriptures is that of Ruth for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And I can speak, I love my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was a great woman of God. And she quoted every time we see her when we leave, she'd say, watch. She'd say, trust in the Lord. She'd say different things to tell us, you know, to be careful, to trust God, not look back, to look forward, to move forward, you know, to watch as well as pray. She always said that. That was her favorite saying, watch as well as pray. And we have to do that every day, watch as well as pray. So I thank God, and I understand Ruth, because my mother-in-law's birthday was yesterday. When I got married on my mother-in-law's birthday. She was turned 50, and she gave her 50th birthday to my husband and I. And all I can say is, wow, that was so wonderful. She didn't have to do that. She did not have. No, excuse me, it was her 49th day, I believe. But she didn't have to give her birthday to us. But she did it. Why? Because she loved us. Isn't that amazing? To be loved so much by someone that they give their birthday to you. They give their birthday to you. That was a mother's love, and I can always do nothing but thank her every day. This wonderful woman, a guy, gave her birthday for her son to get married. And we always remember and celebrated her birthday right along with our anniversary. Because that's how we do it. Family is everything. And it goes on to tell us Naomi. Now, it says many people have inscribed her words on bracelets and pendants that they carry with them wherever, everywhere. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Because remember, she was a Moabite, and she was worshiping idols. But she told her, my God, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Ruth didn't play. She loved her mother-in-law. That was her other mother. And my mother-in-law was like another mother to me. I remember being set down and told that I would call her mama and I would call my father and my daddy, that it was no more Mr. Richmond and Miss Ann, their daughter. And every time I think of it, I can't help but get a little filled up, because that's love. And as Dr. Stanley says, a loyal person remains steadfast. Loyalty comes from the heart. It is motivated by love and wants the best for the other person. You never have to beg the support of a loyal friend or coworker. Loyalty also demands trust. It leaves no room for deception or mistrust. As a result, individuals loyal to one another relate as much deeper levels than others. A loyal person makes for a reliable messenger. This loyalty causes division, especially among Christians. Loyal friends defend the other person and refuse to listen to gossip. Can you hear that? Loyalty speaks the truth. A loyal person has a strong sense of responsibility. Genuine loyalty is not built around circumstances, environment, popularity, or convention. Or convenience. True loyalty is built on devotion to God and love of others. Last, God always rewards those who remain loyal to him and to the people he places in our lives. You can never outgive God, even in loyalty. A friend is closer than a brother. You know, I can count my friends, you know, really on one hand. I have lots of acquaintances. But a friend is the one that's going to be there for you through thick, through thin, through up, through down, through life and death. But you want a loyal friend, one that's not going to judge you. I put their honey, as they say, put their panties in a bunch because you disagree with them, but will love you in spite. Because sometimes what you said is what they needed to hear but didn't want to hear. You got to speak the truth. But we got to still be loyal. But a friend is closer than a brother. Hallelujah. I thank God for my friends. And you know who you are because you are the ones that listen in every day and are here with me through thick, through thin, through up, through down. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for your friendship. God, especially for your really awesome prayers. Hallelujah. As we continue. In a new book. Say, new book, y'all. And our new book is 2 Chronicles. Yay. We are all there. 2 Chronicles, a new book of the Bible. And I can't say anything but, wow, God is good. And his mercy does endure forever and ever. God loves us so much. And he wants what's best for each of us. I have got my books all mixed up here, so I don't have my little 10 words to describe the Second Chronicles, but I will have it for you the next time we get together. But I do have something here. Hold on. It's always good to have your little books. I love my little books. They are so awesome. You know, a little book to kind of tell you what's going on. Thanking God for the little books and the big books. And this is what it says on 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles continues the story of the Davidic monarchy by recording Solomon's triumphant architectural project, building the temple. The writer, however, cannot ignore Judah's many evil kings and how their idolatry and wickedness led to the fall of David's kingdom. So he includes those stories as well. Some key moments in 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat as king. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through chapter 20. Hezekiah's reform. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 to 32. Josiah as king. 2 Chronicles 34 through 35. You know, and it just goes on to give me a chart of all the kings of Judah. So it is a lot going on in Chronicles, especially in 2 Chronicles. We will have a lot to talk about. So let's get started in 2 Chronicles. And the word of God that came to us is this. Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in the kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds, to the judges and to every leader of all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the height that was in Gibeon, for the tabernacle meeting with God was there, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But David had brought up the ark of God from Kirjath Jerusalem to the place David had prepared for it. For he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him there. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. God wants us to do what he calls us, a loving heart. Are you doing your assignment this morning? That night, God prepared to Solomon. God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Y'all know this story. We read it in Kings. It says, Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." Wow, what a word. So Solomon came to Jerusalem from the high place and was at Gibeon from before the tabernacle meeting and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities with the kings, with the king in Jerusalem. Also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar and as abundant as the sycamores, which are in the lowland. And Solomon had horsemen imported from Egypt and Kiva. The king's merchants brought them in Kiva at the current price. They also acquired and imported from Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. Thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to quarry stones in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, "As you have dealt with David my father, and sent him cedar to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbath, on the new moon, and on the set feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a temple, since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple except to bring sacrifices before him? Therefore, send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver, in bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillfulness, men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. Also send me cedar and cypress and algum logs from Lebanon, For I know that your servants have skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and indeed my servants will be with your servants to prepare timber for me in abundance, for the temple which I am about to build shall be great and wonderful. And indeed I will give to your servants the woodsmen who cut timber, 20,000 cores of grain wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. Hiram also said, because the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, for he has given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a loyal house for himself, and a royal house for himself. And now I have sent a skillful man, endowed with understanding, Huram, my master craftsman, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen and crimson, and to make any engraving and to accomplish any plan which may be given to him with your skillful men, with the skillful men of my Lord David, your father. Now, therefore, for wheat, the barley, the oil, and the wine which my Lord has spoken of, let him send to his servants, and we will cut wood from Lebanon as much as you need. We will bring it to you in rafts by sea to Joppa, and you will carry it up to Jerusalem. Then Solomon numbered all the aliens who were in the land of Israel after the census in which David his father had numbered them, and there were found to be 153,600. And he made 70,000 of them bearers of burdens, 80,000 stone cutters in the mountains, and 3,600 overseers to make the people work. Are you doing your assignment today? Are you working for the Lord God? It's time to go to work, family. It's time to do your assignment. For God is calling you for such a time as this. And it says in chapter 3 of 2 Chronicles, now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month of the fourth year of his reign. This is the foundation which Solomon laid for the building, the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by cubits according to the former measure, and the width 20 cubits, and the vestibule that was in front of the sanctuary was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the height was 120. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. The larger room he paneled with cypress, which he overlaid with fine gold, and he carried palm trees and chainwork on it. And he decorated the house with precious stones for beauty, and the gold was gold from Pergamum. He also overlaid the house, the beams and the doorposts, its walls and doors with gold, and he carved cherubims on the wall, and he made the Most High place. His length was according to the width of the house, 20 cubits, and its width, 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. The weight of the nails were 50 shekels of gold, and he overlaid the upper area with gold. In the Most High place, he made two cherubims fashioned by carving and overlaid them with gold. The wings of the cherubim were 20 cubits in overall length. One wing of the one cherub was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room, and the other wing was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherubim. One wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room, and the other wing was also 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherubim. The wings of these cherubim spanned 20 cubits overall. They stood on their feet and they faced inward, and he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen, and wove cherubim into it. Cherubim. Also, he made in front of the temple two pillars 35 cubits high. Can y'all say that's high? And the capital that was on the top of each of them were 5 cubits. He made wreaths of chainwork as in the inner sanctuary and put them on top of the pillars. And he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the wreaths of chainwork. Then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And he called the name of the one on the right hand, Jochin, and the name of the one on the left, Boaz. Moreover, he made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its height, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast iron, 10 cubits from one rim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits. And a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen encircling it all around 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The oxen was cast in two rows. When it was cast, it stood on 23 looking toward the earth, north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 3,000 baths. He also made 10 levers and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them such things as they offered for the burnt offerings. They would wash in them, but the sea was for the priest to wash in. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 bowls of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priest and the great court and doors of the court. And he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. So Hiram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Hiram finished working the work that he was to do for King Solomon, for the house of God, the two pillars and the bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the two pillars, the two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals which were on top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates for the two networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on the pillars. They also made carts and levers on the carts, 1 sea, 12 oxen under it, pots, the shovels, the forks, and all their articles. Hiram, his master craftsman, made of burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord in the plain of Jordan. The king had cast in clay molds between Succoth and Jedidiah, and Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that he weighed the bronze and was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of God, the altar of gold, and the tables on which was the showbread, the lampstand with their lamps of pure gold to burn in the prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary, with all the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, of pure gold, the trimmers of the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of the pure gold. As for the entry of the sanctuary, its inner doors to the most high place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. And I'm just going to say it. You know, there are people right now that were taking stuff out. The iniquity is trying to find as much gold from the temple of Solomon as they can get their hands on, because it is holy and they are greedy. But we are trusting God that this word will go forth. But all things come from God. We are all God's children. And we each have an assignment. Do your assignment. a couple of life lessons from 2 Chronicles chapter 1. The Lord, his God, was with him and exalted him exceedingly. We choose, Dr. Stanley says, we choose life when we follow the Lord, death when we don't. So long as Solomon obeyed God, God prospered him. But when he rebelled, he doomed his kingdom to destruction. As we know, it was divided in half. Actually, really wasn't even half. Israel got 10 tribes and Judah got 2, Benjamin and Judah. And it goes on to tell us life lesson, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. The temple which I built will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. God deserves a great temple, but even more, he deserves our wholehearted devotion and joyful obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that what the word says? And our last life lesson, now that actually was our last life lesson from 2 Chronicles. And I just have a couple of questions here. And it says this, how can I gain wisdom from God? And that comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. And the answer, first one is this, seek him. If you want to know God's heart on a given issue or when you have to make a difficult decision, ask him. Take time to pray. Remember, we talk about it. We got to push. We got to pray until something happens. But in your time of prayer, don't do all the talking. Listen for God's still, small voice. We got to be quiet and know that he is God. And as we continue, number 2, meditate on God's word. You will gain insight into God's mind and heart by studying scripture and meditating on its truth. Difficult decisions become easier to make when God is the one guiding you. Number 3, obey the principles of scripture. When you set your heart on obeying God, he will teach you how to apply his truth in your life. Then you will know the way of wisdom. Number 4, observe the faithfulness of God. The Lord has never failed to keep a single promise he has made. The Bible is full of testimonies that celebrate his goodness and love. Learn to claim his promises as you read his word. Number 5, heed godly counsel. God can use a pastor or a trusted Christian friend to help you see beyond your weaknesses. Don't hesitate to share your needs and fears with those who love the Lord and you. Associate with wise people. Choose your friends wisely. Include God in every relationship, and you will establish a strong godly base from which you can make wise decisions. Because God loves us, we have no need to worry about the future. He has a plan, not only for our lives, but also for every problem we face. And I say today, do your assignment. Go to work and watch God work in your life. And as we get ready to walk out, as we get ready to go to work, as we get ready to do our assignments, a word from our sister in Christ, to Carolyn, faith, my word, it does not make things easy. It makes them possible. Have a faith-filled Friday. And that is a word for today. I love you all. I thank God for you. And as we end this morning, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, the Lord God will equip you for your assignment. It's time to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you for joining me. I love you all, and I thank God for you. It's a wrap.